Good morning. I am Sandy Olwine, and I serve as your bishop and have been assigned here in the California-Nevada Conference since September 1 of last year, and so it is a joy and an honor to be with you on this day. As I welcome you to the worship here at the table, whether you're here in person or joining us online, I do so with a broken heart. Many of you will receive Pastor Matt's email yesterday sharing that Pastor Linda had entered hospice care, transitioning from the hospital to her home. And she was where she had a beautiful view of things and that she loved in her yard and was surrounded by family and dear friends. As I was printing out my notes for this morning, I got a text from Pastor Matt that Linda at 6 o'clock this morning completed her course of faith. And she crossed the threshold between this life and the life everlasting. He shared it was a sacred time, a peace and gentle letting go, in the midst of deep and abiding love and relationships. Even as of yesterday, Pastor Matt had planned to be here in worship this morning, both because he wanted to honor his and Linda's commitment to gathering and worship, but also because he needed and wanted to be among you as part of this community as you walk together on this unwanted path of sorrow, of letting go, of going on. But he needs to be with his family this morning. And he's aware that he needs to tend to his grief and cannot be fully present to yours from a position of leadership right now. But Matt is Matt, so you can trust that all will continue to be organized and the table well cared for even in this season. You know, some of you here have known Linda for many years, and others of you for only a few months. Some of you know her well and deeply, and others were just beginning to get to know her. So the grief and the mourning will be different for you, and that's okay. Holding space for each other where you are in your grief will be the gift that you can give to Matt and to each other in this season. Steve Garnes Holmes, who I think Pastor Matt and them have shared quite a bit of his poetry over the years with you, on Thursday reposted his poem called Agonizing Love. I was thinking as we absorb this sort of new reality and turn our hearts to worshiping God and life and love that I should share it with you again. For I think it names the truths that Linda taught and our faith calls us to. So listen to what he writes. Losing someone we love, dying before our eyes, before their time, we are caught in between, wishing the past, dreading the future. So we come into the present. We stop and we grieve. If it feels we can't go on, it's because we haven't yet freed our sorrow. So we grieve. We let what is inside out. We bear witness. We say the unsaid. We unburden. And there, shattered, weak, bereft, and pierced, the beloved meets us. And then we make our sorrow into life. In tears and song and hands taken, in art audacious and dance unbound, as if flinging our hearts, this lack, this breach in us gives birth and becomes a new creation. We pause in our Gethsemane so we can go on to the agonizing love we are called to. Our tears become our strength, flowing out into the world. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Siblings, we will move through worship this morning. If you need to get up at all any time during the service to move to a prayer station, feel free to do so. If you need to get up and hug one another, feel free to do so. If you need to weep, let the tears come. If you need to go outside, and if you even have to leave because it all feels too much, there's place and space for all of that this day. But my prayer is that in our words, in our prayers, in our music, in the text, and in communion, we will be all part of what will steady us in this season, that will hold us in our loss, and will give us hope for the future yet unknown. So as we turn our hearts to know God's presence, let the words of our opening song tend to your soul. As we rise from our knees where soil and sky meet, peace. All those who receive every branch of this tree, peace. Lord, come as the lion or come as the dove. Just let there be life, life from above.
As we rise from our knees, where soil and sky meet, peace. All those who receive every branch of this tree, peace. Come as the growing from the heart.
So every day I was surrounded by the beautiful crying forth of the ideas of God, one of which was you. Someone I loved once gave me a box full of darkness. It took me years to understand that this, too, was a gift. Now through the white orchard, my little dog romps, breaking the new snow with wild feet. Running here, running there, excited, hardly able to stop. He leaps, he spins, until the white snow is written upon in large, exuberant letters, a long sentence expressing the pleasures of the body in this world. Oh, I could not have said it better myself.
I invite you to stand with me in body or spirit as we sing Free by the Good Shepherd Collective.
There's a world at war, caught in suffering, silent casualties. God grant us peace. In these sleepless nights, I can hardly breathe. Despite brutality, I know that we'll be free. I know that we'll be free. So let the light in, keep it shining. Let it break into the darkness. All the love dares us to see, we'll all be. In these desperate times, love will hold us here. Love will join our hands, teach us to have no fear. So we lay our head down to wash their feet. When we see our sister, we'll all be free. Oh, yes, we'll.
We'll all be free. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Judy, for that. We are all here for each other this morning, aren't we? Yeah. Such a community of faith that we have here. If you are new, welcome. Today is going to be a little different, but this is life, and this is how our community of faith takes each step together. First, I want to start off with some extreme gratitude and thanks to Bishop Sandy for joining us today. I don't know if you know, but Bishop Sandy oversees and cares for over 280 churches in our conference. And today, she's here with us. Thank you. And not only... We can transition. All right. Okay, the more thanks are here. Thank you, Ben. Ben today is taking over and helping lead out this amazing musician team today. Of course, he's our phenomenal bass player. Brendan is away, and of course, Ben jumped right in. And of course, I can't think of a day more so that we need our musicians. Truly, you connect our souls to God's love, and you connect us as a community of faith. So thank you for all that y'all do, and thank you. All righty. If you are online today, welcome. Jay Phoenix is your host today. So Jay will help you if there's any questions that you have. She's got that little chat there. You guys just pop something in there and she'll help you. Today's bulletin can be accessed through those QR codes that are at the end of your pews. So just feel free to do that. And if you're online, Jay has put a link in there for you. So that will share with you what is going on during our service today. If you are new and would like to learn more about this amazing community of faith, please text the word new to the phone number 916-452-5016. All right. We are definitely growing in faith, right? What a church. So Growing in Faith is a series meant for those who are newcomers to our church who want to learn more about who we are and what we do here at the table. We actually have some new series coming up in March, March 2nd and March 4th. Only in the fashion that this community is the March 2nd series, which is a six-week series, is full. Pretty amazing, right? So we've added a second series that begins on March 4th. It will be on Tuesdays in the evenings. And so if you would like to join that series, guess what? There's only two spots left. What does that say about the growth and the amazing ministry that we have here in this church? So if you're interested, I would encourage you to do that right away. All righty. Now we're going to wait, and if y'all wouldn't all mind joining me in standing in body and or spirit as we sing together the words Turning Over Tables, led by our amazing band.
Spreading like a virus, hate is cheap. From afar, it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning over tables, breaking off chains.
When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us all. So I can feel the one inside my heart. Let seeds of peace grow in hearts around us. Let trees of hope give shade to all mankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find. Love is turning over tables, breaking our chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us all.
When will we stand for love? 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 When will we stand for love?
We refuse.
When will we stand for love? When will we stand for love? When will we stand for love?
So sister, take.
When will we stand,
brother? We.
When will we stand
for love? Tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us all. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us all.
Dear brothers and sisters of our table community, my name is Bob Martinez, and yes, love shall overcome. Amen. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place. Sanctuaries, as our musicians, help us with some walking music. I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school, for children who are part of families experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship, and godly play takes place at 9:30 right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Thank you, musicians. You guys are amazing. Our reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version with minor revisions for inclusion. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out of him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the human one, Bar Enosh. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
I also want to acknowledge that the Reverend Martin Lee, who is the director of our Connectional Ministries, is also here, as is Bishop Warren Brown, who is also here with us this morning to come and just be present with all of you in this community in this time. So I'm grateful for their accompaniment of you as well. When I got Matt's text this morning, I thought, well, maybe I just need to dump my sermon, start over, that was a little terrifying. But then actually I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I'm going to trust that the Spirit's words were the right words, and I'm going to go with what I had, and I think it's still going to have a space to speak to us, and I hope that in the unpacking of our scripture that we might find a word of strength, a word of hope, a word that carries us through even in this season of sorrow and grief. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, stir up in us your Spirit, that we might know that we are not alone in this moment, as Linda was not alone in the moment when she transitioned from this life into the next, that you, our God, is with us in all our days. So be with us in our meditations on this scripture and on all that we listen to this day, that you might touch our hearts in new ways and break them open so that we might receive you and receive the gift of life in its fullness that you have for us. And when we leave this place, that we can take those gifts into the world, a world that is hurting and yearning and longing and lonely, a world that is full of possibility and hope and new life. Let us be your witnesses. So bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Jason was an emergency room doctor, and he went to Haiti with other physicians to assist after the earthquake in 2010. Now, some of you will remember that horrible event where over 300,000 people died. My friend and colleague, the Reverend Sam Dixon, was among them. He was the head of UMCOR at the time. And he and representatives from very many relief agencies were already in Haiti to deal with the dire humanity crises that were all existing in that country. Sam died from his injuries sustained as the hotel they were staying in crumbled. Hundreds of thousands of people were also made homeless and injured. For about a week, Jason practiced what he called primitive medicine. Fixing and facing broken bones, infections, and grave injuries with a minimum of medical supplies and no modern equipment. He delivered a set of premature twins in a muddy tent, but tragically, neither survived. And Jason said, those children had been born in even the poorest hospital in America, they would have been saved. But in Haiti, everything is turned upside down. And what I saw there changed my life. Because when you see people whose lives are turned upside down, you start to ask questions about what really is important in life. listening to the stories of our immigrant neighbors who are living in fear right now, or our trans youth whose medical support has been upended, or accounts of national park employees suddenly locked out of their government accounts and terminated with little notice, or knowing cancer research has been halted even as we are mourning the death of Pastor Linda, who battled cancer for a number of years. People's lives, which have been turned upside down, we start to ask questions about what is really important in life. At least we do if we desire to be a community of edge dwellers and edge walkers. Changing perspectives, asking different questions, listening for unexpected answers, seeking what makes communities whole and life-giving. My sense is that's what's been at the heart of your exploration this last month on edge walking. Risking breaking free of the constraints of the status quo, especially that of the institutional church, and fighting the centrifugal force of consumerism and power politics that want to pull us inwards and suck us into a vortex, away from one another and away from God. Edge walking is about understanding that the God of all that is does not dwell in the status quo or at the vortex of all that the world says is power. The God of life is bigger, bolder, wilder than our institutions and society's acceptable norms. And as those seeking to know and to walk with Jesus, we are compelled to change the questions, to discover different answers, and to look for new paths that God would have us walk. That was the message, really, at the heart of today's reading from Luke. You know, see, as the reading begins, Jesus is actually coming down the mountain after a time of prayer in which he has called and named his disciples from out of the crowds of folks who had gone up the mountain with him. Now, when they come down, they are met by people of every stripe, Jews and Gentile, which was already telling us something remarkable about who Jesus was calling together, because those were people who wouldn't normally be caught out together anywhere, but they were drawn together where Jesus was, seeking his healing and transformative power. And our lesson begins with Jesus turning to speak to the disciples. And his first instructions to them, since he called them out to join him on this edge, was this: blessings and woes. Now, I suspect it's not very surprising that that crowd of disciples thinned out rather quickly after he gave them that teaching. Because being a disciple was going to mean being able to see the world through different lenses and with a different orientation. You see, Jesus altered what they understood as important in life and about God, basically overturning a few thousand years of religious teaching and social understanding. Because there was both a strain of Jewish piety and a larger worldview that believed that wealth and health and power were all signs that God loved you, or at least looked at you with partiality. Many were convicted that sickness and poverty and suffering were signs that you had disappointed God and that you were out of favor with the divine. But Jesus takes woes and blessings and he turns them on their head like the prophets of old, proclaiming that the one whom God was choosing were those who were the poor. And that God had good news for those who were the outcast. This God would release hold those that were held captive and restore sight to the blind and free the oppressed. And Jesus' introduction to being a disciple was rooted in the faith of his mother, Mary, who at the promise of his birth sang, "God has shown strength with his arm, scattering the proud, brought down the powerful from their thrones, and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry good with good things, and sent the rich empty away." What the people standing before Jesus that day likely heard was that following him would be participating in a new, unsettling, upsetting order in which the values of the world would be overturned. Now, to be clear, Jesus' blessings and woes are not prescriptions for human behavior. He's not saying that being poor or hungry or full of sorrow is something for which to be thankful, or that those conditions somehow make someone more righteous, moral, or ethical. He's also not saying that having wealth or enough to eat or being happy is going to condemn you for eternity. What Jesus is doing is describing God's actions and where we can trust that God of life is at work. Where the poor are raised up, where the excluded are brought in, where those who are left behind are found, or where those who are bound and oppressed are freed, where those who have been left out know that they are loved, and when those who are sick or hurt or broken or dying are cared for, that is where the God of heaven and earth will be found. You see, the blessing that Jesus says, blessed are you, is not in the state of being. But the blessing is the fact that those, if you are hungry, if you are poor, if you are weeping, it's the assurance that God sees you, that God is with you, that God loves you and values you. You know what? That news was earth-shattering then, and it is earth-shattering now. Luke proclaims again and again that God is with the edge dwellers, those who the world does not see, that they denigrate or discard. Jesus tells followers that to go with God is to walk to the edge, to go out there where God is on the margins, to see it is who it is that God loves, and to walk along and love them and be community there in those places. Comfortableness, ease, and plenty are not the signs of the kingdom of God. Justice, mercy, compassion, and love are. And Jesus invites all who would listen to his voice to join up, to join in, and to become agents of the coming reign of God. And as we figure out what that is, that's how we will rewild the church. You've been reading Victor Lorz's book, The Church of the Wild, this last month, and it's been shaping a lot of your discussions. She says it this way: love is only present when we love self, and at the same time, we love the creative world, the neighbor. Love is an equilibrium between your own interest and those of others. When we step out of love, we remove ourselves from the conversation. And we're no longer participating in the presence of Christ. Our mentality of privileged status, meeting our own needs without considering the needs of others, removes us from the circle of life, which eventually kills the whole system. Reality is a system of reciprocity. Give and take, not just take. That makes it possible for the life of the whole to continue to thrive and evolve. Remembering that we are connected to a larger story, even if we don't totally understand it, is a radical act of trust and surrender. Siblings, 15 years ago, Pastor Linda and Pastor Matt sat at a kitchen table and imagined what it would be like to follow Jesus in a walk on the margins, to create space for reciprocity, to develop and grow, a place of give and take, a place of radical trust and surrender, of honesty and vulnerability, a community where the life of the whole could thrive and evolve. As I have been praying for both of them in these days, a quote from Frederick Buechner, who was a pastor and theologian, came to mind, and he did write, "The place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hungers meet." I believe the table was the place that God called them to. Their joy in being a Jesus community and the need they saw for the world to know this wild God compelled them to seek to begin something new in this place. And in their living into that calling, this space was opened and the table was birthed. And it's the space in which all of you have come to hear God's wild call in your own life. Hallelujah. Pastor Linda has crossed the edge. She's journeying now where life meets life, moving beyond our touch, beyond our tears, beyond our laughter. But be assured, she did not cross over alone. This wild God who is with on the edge dwellers accompanied her in peace across the threshold into love everlasting. And for those of us journeying on this side of life, deep love will bring deep grief. And that trust and vulnerability and surrender and honesty that have been the bedrocks of this faith community will be the gifts that help you walk through this valley of shadow you are now in. Grieving requires time and space, and the journey will be different for each one of you. It will be a time to be tender with one another, full of grace and patience. Pastor Matt and his family will also need time to grieve their deep personal loss. Hold space for him, even as you do for one another. The shared leadership and community care, something that Linda and Matt have cultivated, will serve you well in this season. Friends, lean into the wild God who blesses those who weep with a deep and abiding presence, wiping away tears, holding you in the sobs, and bearing with you through the rage. The God who calls us to the edges is there and will not leave you alone. Lorne writes near the end of her book, "Love requires that we feel the pain of our beloveds. Only by facing the reality of their suffering can we grieve. And only when we grieve can we love again. Reckoning with grief at that level is difficult because you're afraid you might die. And that's the point. Grief brings screams of pain that cause you to wrap up your knees and your arms to your stomach, and you try to breathe between the sobs for the loss of all that is worth loving. And after that, you're exhausted and have expressed all you can express. Your body has nothing more to say. Then there's a deep calm. And this emptiness is necessary to make room for a deeper spiritual connection, free from both denial and despair. Embracing the mystery of life into death, into new life, and then offering our own lives to others in sacrificial love is just not the moral religious thing to do. It's the way the whole system of life evolves and grows. In closing, Jesus' Beatitudes reveal some of God's deepest priorities, and they help us to see the world in new ways. We discover a God who comes to us to save us, to turn our hearts towards life and love, inviting us on a wild and wonderful journey out beyond the confines of society and institution. A God who holds our sorrows and dances our joys, who nourishes at the table where we are welcomed as we are, called beloved, no matter our state. So maybe we can dare to be edge walkers. For I believe if we do, we can rejoice and be glad, even in our unimaginable sorrows. For ours truly, then, will be the kingdom of God. Amen. I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join us in this call and response prayer of confession. God who reigns in the glory of the power that is love, you bless the poor and the hungry, but we neglect our neighbors in need.
Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy.
You bless those who mourn and you comfort them, but we flee from grief and try to numb the pain.
Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy.
Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Christe eleison, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy.
Amen. Friends, we wander along the hemlines of the Christ traditions as edge walkers, and God's reconciling love is always already binding us together in communion, in common union. nothing at all can separate us from the love of God embodied in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near to you. Peace. And a good and holy thing to give our praise to you this day, creator of the cosmos, liberator of creation, mystery of the divine. You unleashed your creative power and a world blossomed. You bestowed upon every living thing life and breath, color and movement. No matter how many battles we wage within and between ourselves and against you, your promise, vision, and gifts of peace and abundance continue. And so we lift up our voices in celebration of you, three in one, the divine dance in which we live and move and have our being.
Blessed is the gift made known, Jesus. To those who are imprisoned by status, law, illness, grief, poverty, gender, age, and disease, he said, you are set free. You are a child of God. And he invited disciples, friends, and strangers alike to be edge walkers with him at the table. And he proclaims God's grace to all with whom he broke bread. And he proclaims God's love to all with whom he shared the cup.
Christ is God, Christ is risen.
When Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner. He took the simple food, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me.
invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples. And we encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour out your spirit on us gathered in this moment, and pour out your spirit on these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And in the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, we cannot make a mistake today. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. We will have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers in the center, which have been lovingly prepared for you, and juices in each cup. After breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides. There are prayer stations. You may pray with candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews when you're ready. In addition to communion today, we have opportunities to pray with pastors and spiritual directors who are here available for anyone who would like to pray with them or simply be held in prayer. Bishop Sandy will be here at the front on this side, and Sandra Lomason, who is a spiritual director for Pastor Linda, and our community will be to your left. Pastor Penny will be here in the front row, and we would invite you to join her there. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean into this, into God's unfolding call on our lives, and to align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. And I see many are still praying with candles, and we just want to name out loud that is absolutely okay. And we'll continue to have Pastor Penny here in the front row and many of us available here at the front for prayer, even as our time continues this morning. We do have Rise Up bread available just outside the sanctuary doors, and I feel that that will be something I take to my family today to bring us together around the table. As we prepare to depart, we are aware the journey ahead will be different for each of us. And we want to have our musicians send us out in love with the song, Love Like There's No Tomorrow.
Loving every night and day. Loving all our troubles away, we're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power, we're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no to love like there's no tomorrow. Yeah, yeah.
Loving on down the wire, love burning like a wildfire. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Love sobbing like a floorboard. Love giving me a little more. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow.
Love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna
love like there's no
to love like there's no tomorrow. Sing, yeah.
We're gonna love, love, love,
oh.
Love for my brother,
brother,
love for my sister,
sister,
love past the color, love for the nations, love on every occasion, love, 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 love.
We're gonna love,
love like there's no two. Love like there's no tomorrow.
And now may the God of love ever be above you to watch over you, beneath you to carry you, in front of you to guide you, and behind you to protect you, beside you to walk with you, and inside you to light your way. We go now to be edge walkers with Jesus. Amen.
We're gonna love, love, love,
love
for my brother,
brother,
love for my sister,
my sister,
love past the color,
love for the nations,
love on every occasion.
We're gonna love, love, love,
love, love, love,
love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love, love,